I got an email from a listener. And after discussing it with producers here at RNZ, we decided to get some advice on it. Let me read you the email. Hi, Jesse. I listened to your show, and an interesting concept has just come up in my life, which I'm told is more common than I might like to think. I am a 35-year-old male, and my partner broached the idea of an open relationship. I think I am monogamous and she is not. We have a 5-year-old daughter together, and we've been together for 7 years. Our relationship is very healthy. I imagine there are lots of people who have had this talk or need to have it. It took a week for me to come crashing down, and I'm trying to deal with it now. We're going to address it later as things settle down. I have my thoughts on the subject, and I can't understand the other side's view entirely, which is the way our brains are wired. I'm trying to be progressive here. Would be nice to hear a professional's view on the subject. Well, thank you to that person for being brave enough to email. And actually, the first person I thought of is a friend of the show, Hannah Carell, a neuropsychologist who I spoke to in October about her book, How to Break Up with Friends. Great book, great interview, by the way, if you want to look it up. Well, I've sent that email to Hannah, and she joins me now from Australia. How are you?
Hey, Jesse. Thank you so much for having me. What an interesting topic.
Yeah.
And what a brave writer to have sent that in to you.
Indeed. And he says that he thinks it might be more common than most people think. I don't know what your view is on that.
That's such an interesting question, this perception, you know, am I the odd one out now, or is this the way we're doing it now?
Yeah.
Is this what the kids are doing these days? And I think he's probably tapping into, there are authors like Esther Perel who are perhaps making it more well-known or popularized in mainstream media to discuss non-monogamous relationships and open relationships. And some of the leading surveys in this kind of domain, and it is an area that we don't really talk a lot about because of the taboos related to, you know, sexual activity. But some estimates have said maybe 1 in 5, so about 20% of people might be engaging in the non-traditional types of relationships. So that can be everything from your consensual non-monogamous relationship to a partially open relationship. So like maybe you're into swingers, or you have an open marriage. And then there can also be one-sided relationships where one person is engaging in extramarital stuff with their partner being consenting to that, or perhaps not consenting to that as well.
Yeah. How should he proceed?
This is such a tricky one. It really comes down to, and you know, the reader is asked, or the email writer is asked, you know, I want to know what the professionals say about this, and what the literature is telling us from, you know, journals, sex research. It's a really new area, but they're kind of boiling it down to like this CCC model. So the CCC model is commitment, communication, consent, communication, and comfort. Consent, communication, and comfort. So you can probably guess intuitively what all of those things mean, Jesse. So, you know, consent is, are we both actually happy to do this? Do we both want to do this? And I think that's a big one, because there is so much pressure in society for us to kind of go with the flow and do things that maybe we're not actually that cool with, because we don't want to rock the boat and we don't want to upset our partner. So if the email writer is thinking in his head, I'm only okay with this, or I'm only going to consent to this because I don't want to lose my partner, but is that really consent? Or is that more that you're feeling like you're in a place of an ultimatum, where unless you consent to it, you're going to lose that person? So is that really truly consent? Are you actually wanting to engage in those behaviours yourself and have that person engage in those behaviours too? And don't forget, non-monogamy is, there's different parts to it, right? So there are the physical parts to it, so the actual maybe sexual acts, but then there's also the emotional part. And a lot of people have rules on what they're going to do, whether it's going to be just physical and no emotional stuff, whether it's going to be with people that neither party knows, so no mutual friends are allowed. There can be a lot of rules with these things, right? And that's where we get into the second part of that CCC model, which is communication. So what are you communicating with your partner? Are you actually having a conversation with your partner? And, you know, it's a bit awkward and obviously going to be quite confronting if one person's saying, this is what I want to do, and the other person's saying, well, I'm not sure that I'm actually okay with that. But that's what it all kind of boils down to, doesn't it? We need to have a conversation where we're speaking the truth, which is, am I okay with this or am I not okay with this? Either way, if you're not communicating that to your partner, something's going to happen that you're probably not okay with, yeah? That makes sense?
Yeah. And then this third concept, comfort.
Yeah. So the last one is your how okay you are with it all, right? So I suppose what's important for people to remember with this one is that it's okay to not be comfortable with something, and it's okay to own that, and it's okay to say, I don't like what's happening. I'm not okay with this. And I think there's a lot of pressure for us to be cool, and there's a lot of pressure for us to be easygoing and not rock the boat. And we have a different model of relationships these days. We have Tinder and Hinge and all sorts of different ways of interacting that we didn't really used to have in the past. And it may have kind of rubbed off to have a little bit more of this casual air to our relationships. So it's totally okay for you to be able to say, I'm actually not comfortable having a non-monogamous relationship. I want it to be monogamous. And then that comes back to, well, how much self-respect have you got where you're happy to say what the boundary is for you? So my boundary is, I want to have a monogamous relationship. I do not want to be with somebody who is sleeping with other people. Or I do not want to be with somebody who's emotionally intimate with other people. Once you know in yourself what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with, then we come down to setting boundaries and actually sticking to those boundaries. And that really is the hardest part of this conversation, where you're maybe butting heads a little bit with your partner because they're saying to you they want to do something and you don't want them to do that thing. You want to do something different. So where is the line for you as an individual for what you're going to consent to and what you're going to put up with? And when are you going to say, that's not okay? It's not okay for that to happen. And you're not being a prude. You're not being a buzzkill. You're not being, you know, a negative Nancy to say that you're not comfortable with an open relationship. That doesn't mean that you're, you know, you're some frugal 60s, not up with the times kind of uncool person. It just means that you're being real with yourself. So it's very easy to fall into that trap of wanting to please others and wanting to come across as, you know, up and hip and modern. But actually, if you're not listening to yourself deep down and what you really want as a person and what you are really, really wanting truly from your relationship, then ultimately you're probably going to be quite unhappy in that relationship.
Pretty tough when there's a young child involved as well to be dealing with what could be a make or break sort of moment by the sounds of things.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is some of the biggest studies that we have on this topic, so like a Canadian-based study, is suggesting that 20% of people who are engaging in non-monogamous relationships tend to have a child under the age of 19. So it's usually people in between about 25 to 44 who might engage in non-monogamous relationships. And, one in five of them will have a child. So it's new territory for society. We're moving in an area where we're more open about the way things are done. You know, you might be in an open marriage, you might be in a polyamorous marriage, you might be a swinger. And that's okay. Like if it's what makes you happy and what makes your partner happy, you can get a really healthy relationship out of doing things your way and doing things in a non-traditional sense. And it might make you closer. It might make you appreciate one another more. It might keep things dynamic and interesting and be incredible. But it could also be something that really has an insidious effect on your relationship and your marriage. So that's where you need to be really, really aware of your own feelings, communicating those feelings to one another. If you're not comfortable, you have to communicate that to your partner. Otherwise, over the long term, that's where we're going to see the fallout of somebody who's not actually comfortable with what's going on. Because deep down, you haven't really consented then because you're not okay with what's happening and it's going ahead anyway. So the long-term trajectory of that is not going to be good for the relationship.
Is it possible for a human being to draw a curtain in their head and close off what are, I think, quite primitive human emotions like jealousy, for example? Is it even possible for you to carve out that space and say, well, I'm going to just, whatever it is, turn a blind eye or allow that to happen and not fall victim to what you would ordinarily expect quite naturally to feel?
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good question. I mean, I guess the answer is yes and no, sometimes and maybe. It really comes down to that person, right? Like, there are very healthy relationships where people have very, very carefully set out the boundaries of what their non-monogamous relationship is going to be. You know, no kissing, no date, just X, Y, Z. And in those relationships, they might be perfectly fine. But even the best person might have days where they get tripped up by feeling a little bit jealous or a pang of jealousy. And in some cases, people thrive off that feeling of jealousy. It's actually what keeps passion in their relationship. And that's okay too. If that's what floats your boat, then that's fine. The question is, when is it hurting someone? You know, when is this hurting someone? So is what you need to keep your passion alive hurting your partner? Is what they need to keep the passion alive hurting you? And all you can do at the end of the day is recognize what you're comfortable with and communicate that back to your partner. I'm not okay with this, or this made me feel this particular way, because we're all fallible. You're right. Like, we can try to close off those parts to ourselves and we can shut the curtain in the moment. But again, you know, you've probably had times in your life where something's happened that you're kind of not okay with. And then the next time that thing has happened, it's like the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? Something happens and it brings up all of these emotions inside of you and all of this frustration inside of you. And it's actually just the very tip of the iceberg. And underneath that is all of these insecurities and all of these past events that it's tapping into that's triggering you.
Would you be surprised to hear that I've got a listener who's texted in, she says, it's weird, but I think I would almost prefer for my partner to have another sexual relationship on the side in secret than for me to have to legitimize it.
Wow. Yeah. There are different types of non-monogamous relationships, and some of them are one-sided and some of them are consensual one-sided relationships, and some we don't know about. And a lot of times that can happen when we don't know about something going on and we can be blissfully ignorant about
saying that you're in an open relationship but your partner just doesn't know about it yet probably doesn't really stack up, does it?
Is it an open relationship or is it just cheating?
Yeah.
You make sure you're not being a scoundrel about it. Again, we come down to consent, we come down to communication and comfort, and obviously it's a huge violation. You know, if you are having intercourse with somebody and your partner doesn't know about it, you really need to have a very good hard think about what is the cost of that behavior on yourself and also on your marriage, and violating the trust of the person who really has put the highest level of honor and respect in the partnership with you. It's one of those things that comes down to integrity, doesn't it, Jesse? Like, that's the word of the day here, integrity. If you can operate with integrity with everything that you do, and you know that you're, you know, broaching a topic that's going to enrich and benefit and improve your marriage, but you're also always respectful of your partner's feelings, and you are always being sure that you have consent in everything that you do, then more or less, more times than not, you're going to be headed in the right direction. Day that you put your needs above theirs and you start to cross lines, that's the day where things start to go wrong.
Thanks, Hannah. Hannah Carell's a neuropsychologist. Her latest book is How to Break Up with Friends, and she's been giving some advice to an emailer and anyone else who might be interested listening today. Hannah, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.